Did you hear what God said to you? Did you really hear what he said? Are you really going to take heed to what he said to you?
Yes.
You know, we are living in a very precarious time right now. We are living in a time when the enemy is really vying for your life really hard. And God has been doing everything he can possibly do to admonish us that we have to be very watchful what we're doing. And he's been telling us what the enemy's trying to do. But we're not comprehending what he's doing, trying to do in our lives. And I'm really encouraging each one of you tonight. I mean, I'm telling this because God got upset Sunday night. He didn't say anything to y'all. He just told me about it. He said, when will they ever learn? When will they ever truly receive me? When will they ever really understand? You know, if I was a father and I had to give up my son and he had to go through the terrible death he had to go through, I'd be very upset with anybody that tramped on him and on his blood. That would really make me upset. I'm the mother, not the father, but, you know, he's the father of Jesus. And what do you think it did to Mary? Doesn't say a word about Mary, but what do you think it did to Mary to sit there and watch her child go through all that torment? For what, a handful of saved people? Stop and think about it. Because not very many is going to make heaven their home. Did she watch all this go on for a handful of saved people? I don't know if you think about it in those terms, but, you know, just think about that. How would you feel if you had a son and you watched him go through all the torment and pain, knowing beforehand that only a few people were going to receive him as Lord and Savior? Father, I just thank you for the word you spoke tonight. I thank you, Father God. Really, it was a word of encouragement, whether we take it that way or not. And Father God, I thank you for the people who came out tonight to sit in your presence, to eat fresh manna from heaven. And Father, every day I read of how the people are leaving the churches by the groves. Father, don't let it be the people in Delaware. Let them cling to you, Father, and let them understand that you are still in control. It doesn't matter what is going on. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, ever since that dear thing broke, whatever, I don't know that person's name. Somebody give me the name, please. Who? Ashley Madison. Ever since that's broke, you see her so many pastors that are being ousted out of their churches. And I don't know if you read about the one today who they ousted out of the church and he committed suicide because he couldn't deal with the fact of what he did. I don't know what he did, but, you know, they say he was the most wonderful, jolly man, you know, and everybody loved him, was always given to him and given to other people. But somehow he got hung up in that thing, that perversion. But you know what the family said? They said, you know, it's made us cling closer together. I think they had a daughter and a son. The mother and a daughter and son said, now they're going to talk to each other about their emotions. See, if we would just talk to each other in our families about our emotions, we wouldn't have the problems that we have. They knew he was troubled, and they knew he was going through something, but they'd never ask him what. So he never had anybody to talk to, and so all that was inside of him. And then when this shame, he said it was just too much shame. And when his shame finally hit, he just took his own life. That's a shame to read about that in the body of Christ. That somebody felt so alone and so separated, even though they had all these people around them, that they couldn't go to somebody and say, I've got a really bad problem, and I need somebody to understand me. Come on. Let's think about that. Do we push the people away? Or does any enemy make them think that what they've done is so unpardonable that there's no way they can get, you know, back in the grace of God? But that's not true. I want you to really think about this tonight. Now, did you read the story in Charisma magazine where the ex-lesbian was begging the pastors to please tell the homosexuals the truth. She said, I was on my way to hell and nobody would tell me that. So she heard it somewhere and went to her pastor and said, am I really in sin? Then he sat down and explained it to her. And she left there a changed person, born again, putting her lesbian lifestyle behind her. But she was a lesbian for 30 years. And she said nobody ever told her in all the churches she went to that she was in sin or going to go to hell. She said, please tell us the truth. Please don't let us die and go to hell. You know. But she happened to be one that said, she kept hearing it, that it was wrong. And so she went and asked. We have our Bible that says it's wrong. But a lot of people don't know where to look that up at, you know. They just don't know. And so that's why we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to know the word and we have to tell the people. Are you listening here tonight? God has called us here to help those who are in trouble. Jesus did not come for the saved, did he? He came for the sinners. It tells you right that. He did not come for the church. He came down here for the sinners to get them saved so they could get one day go into heaven. Everybody sort of has the idea he came down for the church. He didn't. See, if we just get all this stuff straight. You know, I know somebody that I love very dearly, and I try to explain to them that homosexuality is wrong, and I took the Bible to him and read it to him, and he said, no, you're misunderstanding what that's saying. No, there's no way you can misunderstand that. Right now, they both have AIDS and they're both dying, still thinking they're going to go to heaven. They will not believe the word. You know, some people you can't save. You just can't. So don't feel bad if you can't get them saved. You gave them the word. What they did with the word, you showed them the word. What they did with it is totally up to them. All right? And don't get into condemnation either. You know, if you've been in sin and you hear it's wrong, don't get into condemnation. Don't allow the enemy to say, oh, you can't let anybody know about it. You got to tell somebody. You have to tell somebody. I'm a pastor, and I said to the deliverance team, I think I need a deliverance. I said, I get angry too quick, too often. I said, I'm around so much anger, I think some of that jumped on me, and I just need a deliverance from that. I'm the pastor, and I go to my deliverance team who hasn't been in the church that long. What's wrong with that? Nothing. See, if you keep those things hidden, then the enemy can jump all over that, and he'll have you destroyed before much longer. We have to be open, and we have to be honest. I don't know why I'm saying this tonight, but we have to be open, we have to be honest with one another. And we have to let each other know where we stand. That's what we're here for. We're supposed to be here for each other. Amen. I hope you're just not sitting in the house of God, just be sitting in the house of God. I hope you're there that if there's a brother or sister, or even well, everybody's your brother and sister, comes into the house of God, you'll be there that God can say, yeah, excuse me, they really need some help. Going over there and minister to them. Amen. Yeah, I'm really surprised that when I was very first saved, and I cannot find that scripture. First of all, God said we're living in the days of Noah, and that was back in 77. And then he gave me that scripture about the pastors who do things in the dark. And I cannot find that scripture anywhere, but I read it because he gave it to me. Excuse me. He was showing me that the pastors are crooked. The pastors are perverted. And I don't remember what he said. It's been too long ago what he said about it. But he already warned me when I was first born again that there's sin in the pulpit. You know, it's just, isn't it a shame that it's always been there? And your pastors are supposed to stand up there as holy people, live on a holy life so that they can lead you into holiness. And you can't do that if you're living in any type of gray area. There's no gray area anyhow. It's either holiness or it's none at all. Amen. Well, I'm going to read something to you tonight that I read. I've told you this. I've been preaching it and teaching it. But you always seem to like it when somebody, I read something. You always like it when I read it when somebody else wrote it. All right? Ah, look at that, you say. So they titled it Setting the Table in Truth. It's Michelle Holderman. We are at a breaking point. I've told you this. We're at a breaking point globally, nationally, locally, and even in our individual lives. I'm telling you, especially in our individual lives, we are at a breaking point. We really are. God is, he said, things are breaking open. God is bringing to the surface everything that's in us that is not of him. You either accept it and get rid of it, or you say, nah, get it behind me, Satan. That's not me. Yeah, if it's there, it's you. And it isn't the devil bringing it forth. It's God. Because he can't. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's go on. God does not author evil, confusion, or strife. He does, however, orchestrate the revealing or breaking open of truth. He does, however, orchestrate the revealing or breaking open of truth. And the truth, including the ugly, is coming out so that the Lord can administer true change, correction, justice, healing, restoration, and redemption. Why is he doing this? He's doing this because he wants to use you. And if you don't allow him to take care of these areas, he'll never be able to use you. You know, the word tells us the blind fall the blind and they all fall in the ditch, right? So you can't be blind about anything. You have to have the eyes of God. You have to be holy. You have to be doing the things that God's calling you forth to do. There are structures and strongholds that must be exposed and torn down. They have tried to exalt themselves against the true knowledge and power of the living God. This is talking about individual lives, all right? Now, listen to what you're reading. The roots of this are spiritual. There are demonic strongholds behind it all. God is deconstructing or tearing down these false things. This is messy but worthy work, which is followed by the construction or building up of what is true. See, God wants to tear down the old, the false, so he can build you up in the truth. And what is true always has a strong and righteous foundation. Tearing down is necessary. Why is God putting me through this? He has to tear down the old foundation. He will not build on a foundation that is rocky. He just won't. I was reading a story today about this guy who was, they were getting a new home built, and a year before they started building their home, their friends built a new home, and they started going over seeing their friends, and they saw these big cracks in the wall. And they said, why is this in a brand new home, these big cracks? He said, because they didn't make the foundation right. And so they was going, every day they went to the jobs where they're building their house, getting their house built, checking their foundation. They said, we're going to have a sure foundation so that we don't get all these big cracks in our wall. And see, this is why we have cracks in our armor. Our foundation isn't good. It isn't solid. It isn't secure. And so the enemy can come in anytime he wants and just shake and destroy. If the foundation is weak and fractured, the whole structure built upon it will become weak and fractured as well. This is what has happened to in many spheres. Therefore, broken foundations and broken hearts are being revealed. Don't fight God in this. Let him bring it forward. Let him bring it out. Let him make you the true man or woman of God that he wants you to be. I went in there and they thought I was all this, that, and the other, and now this is here, and I can't let them see me, the true me. We already know the true you. Come on. If you walk in the Spirit, you can't fool a child of God for very long. You might fool them for a little bit, but not for very long. They see right through that. And don't be upset. We aren't upset because we've been dealing with this way too long to get upset. We just know that you don't know that you're what's going on in your life. You don't know that when you went into the enemy's camp and got all messed up, that he messed you up really good. Really good. And I'm going to say at this point that what God showed me the other night was anybody who truly gets into the devil's camp really strong, gets herself really, really lives for the devil with everything they have, you're going to fight him the rest of your life. Because when you went in there, you told the devil you were his. And he's still claiming you as his. And then God even said to me, why do you think Paul spent his life in prison? Are you understanding this? So Paul didn't try to get into prison, did he? When he was in prison, he rejoiced. And so don't get upset because the devil's fighting you. After all, you went into his territory. You became his. And he wants you back. And he's going to fight with everything he has to get you back. I mean, God explained this all to me the other night. Because I'm saying, when I see people get delivered, they go back into their same mess. He said, that's because they don't understand that you're always going to have to fight him. You're always going to have to fight him. Now, that's going to prove what kind of soldier you really are. Are you a strong tower that others can run into? Are you a strong tower that no matter how you're going to fight that devil, no matter what he throws your way, and you're going to keep on going with a smile on your face, a true smile on your face, joy in your heart, you know, a little dance in your step to let him know, hey, you might fight me every day of my life, but guess what? I'm going to fight you, and I'm going to make my home in heaven one day. Because the God in me is a whole lot stronger than you think you are. Come on, guys. I'm throwing that out there at you tonight because I've been saying, God, why is it? So he showed me why it is. You went into the devil's camp, maybe not knowingly or willingly, but you got there. And when you get into the devil's camp, he makes everything look good. I haven't been in there, but God told me he makes everything look really good. And that's how he catches it. That's how he hooks you. And then he'll get you hooked in that area. Then he'll get you hooked in another area and hooked in another area. But you don't know who you really are. It isn't even you walking anymore. You're just a shell that the enemy is working through. Amen. Come on. I've lost my place. So I said, in this process of tearing down in order to rightly build up, it will always look worse first. All right, before it starts to take shape and get better. See, and I know a lot of you fight that like crazy. I don't understand. Quit fighting it. It's going to look worse before it gets better. Nevertheless, it is necessary to the building of what is true. Come on. We can do this. We can fight the enemy. We don't have to give in to him. We don't have to fight our brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us you're not fighting flesh and blood. When I say we don't have to fight our brothers and sisters, if a brother or sister, the devil makes you believe that they're coming against you, say, get out of here, devil. They are not. You don't have to give in to that spirit. You don't. And we can make this together. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's in numbers that we have strength. The devil likes us to gather all by ourselves because he picks us off one by one. Come on. Y'all know that. I can sit at home and watch my TV and read my Bible and I'll be fine. Well, I beg to differ with you. That's not true. Because I watch many people fall having that mindset. Now, I don't care where you go to church. You know, but please get in a church somewhere. We must remember Paul's admonition in Ephesians 6. He said, I'm getting all ahead of myself, Your Honor, tonight. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, which are people. Our fight is against spiritual principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this present age, and wickedness in high places. What we're fighting is the devil everywhere. And aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of seeing the devil everywhere you go?
Yes.
You know, I'll be glad when Jesus Christ comes a second time, won't you? Every place you go is demonic. Everything you hear is demonic. You turn on the radio. When we get on your computer, it's demonic. Everything they show is demonic. I said, Lord, where is this spiritual thing we used to know? You older people, did we used to know the spiritual thing, right? And now it's all demonic. It's unreal. God told me gross darkness is going to cover the earth. It's going to be bad, but I didn't really believe all that was going to happen. And it is gross darkness. It is a very real battle of darkness trying to prevail over light. Are you two hearing this tonight? Come on. It is a very real battle of darkness trying to prevail over light. And I'm sorry, I look at some of you in here, and the darkness is winning. It really is. Because you're not prevailing. You're too busy being upset because God isn't doing what you want Him to do now. We're supposed to be being blessed. I asked my husband, what is it we're supposed to be doing that God's doing for us this week? He's blessed us some way, isn't it? I forgot how, though. Does anybody remember what I said? Well, no, I'm not talking about Jubilee. No, what did he say he's going to do this week? Jubilee's supposed to be a... I don't... Well, anyhow, we're supposed to be blessed this week, all right? Sunday, we're going to blow the shofar and something else is going to happen. Anyhow, this is the week we're supposed to be being blessed. So Joseph, and God said he's going to give us everything that we can believe him for. Uh-huh. That's what I said. Well, yeah. Come on. So everything we can believe him for, he's going to give. Now, how many of you are believing that? But are you believing with your head or with your heart? There's a difference. You know, there's a difference. You have to believe with your heart, not your head. This head is crazy, you know. And it'll make you believe all kind of junk. So let everything bypass your head and get down into your heart. Into your spirit, man. God is light. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. None. He's total light. He operates in complete truth. In complete truth. Righteousness, love, mercy, peace, and grace. He is not only a creator, he is the creator. Sometimes I believe some of you think the devil created you. The way you go worship him and let him do what he wants to do. He didn't create you. He didn't create, never created anything good. Maybe before he fell, he might have created some good music because he was the musician in heaven. He had to create something good, I guess. But after that, you know, he was done. From then on, he created nothing good. Once he got that stupid pride working in him, he was done. And see, once you let pride enter in, you're finished if you don't put that thing under the blood. I wouldn't put it under the blood. I'd take the sword and hack it to death. Right? Because everything you put under the blood seems to sort of ooze out, doesn't it, eventually? And we do put everything under the blood, though. But I think we really need to start really just hacking that devil to death. God said, put him under your feet and stomp him. Isn't that what he said? Sometimes you have weak legs, you don't stomp him too hard, so I get a sword and I destroy him. We're going to have to do something. Satan is darkness, but he tries to cloak himself with light in order to fool people. He's a liar. He operates in deception, hate, fear, accusation, and exploitation. He is an imitator and a con artist. Have you ever noticed everything God does, Satan imitates, but it's always perverted. Every last thing that God does, Satan imitates everything. You see, now why would you follow a person that can't even do things original? He isn't an original. He has to imitate. Why would you want to follow him? I'd rather follow the person who is original of everything, wouldn't you? Well, the God. Satan always tries to emulate, pervert, and distort what God does. He's a trickster, and sometimes the Lord allows him evil, wickedness, and deception to be fully seen so that we can fully see and know the truth of what's really going on. This can be quite jolting, but it's necessary. In other words, God can let you see yourself for what you are. That isn't God. That's not the truth. Yes, it is. Right there it shows you it is because you're denying it. You know, if it really wasn't God, you say, well, you know, if that's there, well, then I need to get it taken care of. Sometimes we tell people, you know, it won't hurt you to go through deliverance. If it's something there, it'll come out. But isn't it? Just won't come out. At least you'll know what's there and what isn't there, right? And if you're afraid to do that, well, then what are you hiding is my next question, right? What is it you don't want people to see? That's the thing you need to get out. God operates on a higher plane, and he operates on the highest plane. Everything he does functions to the righteous utmost. He functions in complete excellence. His agenda is to redeem, restore, and give life. You don't find excellence in the world anymore. You don't. People do sloppy jobs. They have no integrity. But when I was growing up, we operated in excellence. My father taught me, you need to keep your integrity, because if you don't, people will not believe a thing you do or say. Some of you aren't as old as I am, but some of you might be close to my age. But, you know, that's the way it was in those days. That's all going out the window now, hasn't it? God wants to bless and give life. Satan wants to curse and destroy. Now, why would you want to follow something that wanted to curse you and destroy you? How many of you are really getting angry anymore at the devil lately? You know, this righteous anger rises up. You can't hardly control yourself. You get so mad of the evil that's everywhere you go. You know, it's just like you. I said, God, show us how to at least find some sort of direction here in this evil, evil world. And what you read on TV, I mean, what you see on TV and what you read on your computers is absolute out of this world. And people call it right. I mean, I know that's what the Bible says is going to happen. And we're living in it. Sometimes I wish Jesus would just come on and take us all home. Amen. We the people can choose by an act of our wills to operate and come into agreement with either the light or the darkness. See, I always made up my mind, all right, my mother and father divorced because of some stupid thing, all of us kids lived in poverty and a lot of pain, and I made a covenant with God, if I ever get married, ever have children, there'll never be a divorce in my family. And when my father remarried, he married a woman who was an alcoholic, and that was hell to live. And if you ever live with an alcoholic, and I made a vow, I said that there would never be alcohol in my home. And for some reason or other, I didn't like cigarettes. I don't know why, but there would never be smoking in my home. And I've stood to those things that I made a choice. I could either say, oh, well, it's not that bad. But I made choices. Nope, this is the way it's going to be. There was a dividing line, and you didn't do these things. But people don't do that nowadays, do they? They just go with the flow. Oh, well, you know, what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in your world. It makes a difference in your salvation. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to what the Word of God says. And we need to start living a holy life and telling the devil, you don't have no place here. little Isaiah was carrying on bed last night, and finally I got teared up, and I said, devil, in the name of Jesus. And he went, you know, big old eyes in the night, you know. And boy, I was casting that devil into the abyss and everything else. And when I was all finished, I said, Mom, are you done? But I could tear that devil turn around like a snake in the bed and smacking me. He smacks me in the face with his bottle and stuff, you know. I said, I've had enough of this mess. So I just took control of it. You know, somebody's got to take control. As long as I let him do that, he was going to keep on doing it. You know, the devil working through that child. You have to take control of these things. That little baby couldn't take control of that. But he knows when I say devil, I get that special tone of my voice. You know, he knows, uh-oh, we're in for it now. That devil says, we're in for it now. We just carried on too long and we got to go. See, you have to let the devil know you mean business. Yes. Now, lay down, go to sleep, baby. That little baby devil's not going to do nothing. You know, you try that for 15 minutes, and he's still twisting around like a, you know, I always call it like the alligator roll, you know, he does. Then you have to take control. But I never take control of him. I always tell him, all right, devil, now I've had enough of you. And that thing does settle down. Gabriel says, uh-oh, here we go again, he says. Larry gets real quiet, you know, and we get that devil going. So why do you allow him to have any leeway in your life? Don't do that. We choose. And whatever we choose to operate and come into agreement with is what we will empower. It goes even deeper than that. Whoever we accept is who shows up in our lives. We give legal, spiritual access to whomever or whatever we receive. We do that. You know, the devil can't come invade your body unless you allow him to. Come on. I know some people were raped and abused when they was babies and the devil's got in there, and I do know that. And you didn't open the door for nothing, and you had no choice. But the devil's in there now. You know he's in there now. Get him out. You do have a choice whether you leave him in here or whether you make him go. Come on. You do have that choice. And you don't know that, though, till you're taught, right? And once you're taught, though, then you have a choice to make. Okay, I'm going to let this devil go ahead and have parties in my vessel all the time and invite all of his party friends, or I'm going to make him leave and not let him have any more parties. I might suffer a little bit, but I'm not going to endure this no more. Everybody has to make their own choice. I can't make a choice for you, and you can't make a choice for me. We just can't. God told me one time, he said, you're trying to get them saved, and you can't. You give them the word, and they have to choose what they're going to do with the word. He said, you're wearing yourself out. In fact, you're losing your salvation because the enemy is weakening you, and he's going to come in the back door. So always remember that, guys. You give the word, then you walk away. They can do it with what they want to, and you can do like I did and wear yourself out for month after month after month, and they're still the same because they really don't want to receive the word that you give them. They enjoy what they're doing. The spirit realm is very real, more real than many people give it due validity. And until we get a hold of this, we will often misunderstand the true root of what happens in our lives and in society and culture. You know, when I started doing deliverances way back in 1980, the people around here just thought I was from hell. They told everybody, don't go to her church. She's the devil herself. Because Christians can't have demons. Now everybody's doing deliverances. Everybody's writing books, you know, and now everybody believes in the spirit realm, but they wouldn't believe in it in 1980. They wouldn't believe that the demons were in the church. They wouldn't believe they were in Christians. They wouldn't believe any of that stuff. It tickles me. Peter Wagner, you know, boy, he really came against anybody that did deliverances. He was adamant. Now he writes books and everything about it. I didn't write any books. I could be making all that money too, and I didn't write any books. You see what I'm saying? So even though he didn't believe it, he got out there and he told everybody, wrote books about why there it couldn't happen. Now he's writing books that it can happen. And people are buying those books too. Come on. Are you going to write a book? Come on. I tell my people, I said, get out there. You know so much. Get out there and write the books about it, dummies. And get the money for it before somebody else gets the revelation that you, they'll take your revelation. They'll write a book on it. And they'll make all this money, and you're sitting there, duh. You know, get out of here. I mean, I already went there, and I didn't get the money, and somebody else did. So, you know, so I'm telling you, don't be as dumb as I was, is what I just said, in case you didn't get the picture there. Okay, there are two powers and authorities operating in this universe: God, the kingdom of heaven and light, and Satan, the kingdom of darkness and hell. God is a true power and authority. He is greater. Always remember that. He and his power and authority is ultimate or supreme. Satan is a false power and authority. He is lesser. He and his power and authority is subordinate or inferior. We are influenced by our choices and by who and what we allow into our lives. Always remember, Satan has no power and authority unless you give it to him. I really, really hate to make that statement because, you know, I told you about, you know, when God told me Satan, his little pinions or whatever you call them, couldn't take me out. So he himself was coming after me. And he's handsome. He has long blonde hair and blue eyes. Very handsome. He came at me 3 different times. And each time he told me he's going to kill me. He had a long conversation with me what he was going to do. And I said, no, you're not. I laughed. I have learned not to laugh. I really have learned not to laugh when the devil tells me so. And God told me, he said, now, daughter, Satan himself has come after you. And he's asked permission for you. And he's going to turn you every which way but loose. He can do everything he wants to you, but he cannot kill you. But when it's all said and done, you're going to be standing on your feet, facing me and praising me. Many times during that time, testing time that Satan was doing with me, I said, God, just take me on home. But I had to keep fighting and keep fighting. And you see, God told me beforehand what was going to happen. He wants you and he's going to try to kill you, but he can't kill you, but he can do anything else he wants to do to you. And then he said, it's a Job experience, little one. So I read Job and I said, I can't believe this. Me, a child of God, God would allow Satan to do this. That's how I felt. But that's what he did. He allowed Satan to take me and to show Satan that he couldn't have me, that I would not give in to his wiles. Believe me, I never wanted to give in, but I did want to die. Because he doesn't fight fair at all. And he goes to extremes. And then after I went through mine, then God said, now the church is going to go through a Job experience. So if things have been going on in your life for years now, it's because Satan went and asked for you too. He probably asked for the whole church. And God said, go ahead. Do anything you want to him, but you can't kill them. Thank you, Father, for loving me so much. For knowing I'm so strong that you just knew I was not going to bow to his knees. Really? His tears rolled down my cheeks. And I wanted to die. But I couldn't do that. None of you can. Come on. You have a work to do for God. Do you know how many souls are out there? They need you. And this is why Satan wants you, because he knows how many souls you're going to save. And he wants you because he doesn't want those souls saved. Come on. Where am I at? We are influenced by our own choices and by who and what we allow into our lives. I read that, right? So whomever or whatever we accept and come into agreement with is who and what we allow and give rightful access to us. This defines how we ultimately function, how we think, speak, and act. Come on. You can tell who you choose just by listening to how a person talks, how they think, and how they act. You can tell who they finally gave in to. This is how it breaks down. If we give God access, we are influenced by him and his kingdom. If we give Satan access, we are influenced by him and his. It can't be both. It's one or the other. The truth is, God is for us. Will you please remember that? When Satan comes knocking at your door, you say, no, no entrance here because God is for me. He's not against me. Come on. Satan, the devil, is not. He's not for you. But his sham, his smokescreen, is to deceive people into thinking he is. Talking about smokescreen, I remember one time I said, God, how come people, when you confront them, they act like a fool? And God said, that's a smokescreen, so you'll quit talking to them because they don't want to admit that they had that problem. Have you ever run into people like that? They act like a total idiot, don't they? Rant and rave, you stand there, looks like, what just got a hold of you? It was a smokescreen from the enemy because the enemy didn't want you to continue on. And because he knew if you did, you was going to get that person set free. He was going to speak some truth into their life and they were going to grab a hold of that truth. Satan wants a foot in the door so he can work his way in. Remember, he likes to cloak himself with light and bits and pieces of truth, but his motive is false because he's false. This is why we need godly discernment, which is lacking in the body of Christ. We do not have godly discernment. We don't. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. But if you have godly discernment, then the shoe doesn't fit, so don't put it on. And don't look at me and get mad at me, all right? I have never seen the likes of the body of Christ. I sit up here and preach something, you sit there. And I'm thinking, what's their problem? Aha, the shoe must have fit, and they didn't like the tight squeeze. But see, if you're not doing anything that I'm preaching, then you're sitting there oblivious to everything that's going on. I know because I've been there. Come on. I lost my place again. True revelation. Jesus said to the devil in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's who Satan is. That's who you're serving. If you're not serving God, this is who you're serving. Now, what kind of a person is that that you would love, are you, that you would love serving something like that? Jesus is a true face, the true revelation of God, and he came in grace to empower us to live in earth. Now, I'm reading this to you now because God said the body of Christ is in a mess. And some of you are going through these things that I've talked about, and you're kicking against a prick. You're upset with God, and God's telling you, hey, this junk is in you, and I need to get it out. I'm not going to use you. I'm going to throw you in the nearest trash can. But instead of you allowing God to go ahead and get this stuff up out of you, you're acting like a fool. You walk around your face, your chin down to your knees, and you're always upset and always disgruntled, you know, and there's never any joy in your face. Come on. Now, if you really want God as your Lord and Savior, then you're not going to walk around like that and do those things. You're going to say, all right, God, it's in me. Get it out of me. And do it quickly. If I was you and I was like that, every time I come in the house of God, I say, God, let the anointing be so strong that every devil that's in me gets yanked out even while I'm doing praise and worship. Come on. I pray that over you all the time. If you're praying for yourself or not, I say, God, get all them devils out of them. Come on. When we claim to love and serve God, our lives should truly reflect it. Are you here now? Christ has given us his grace for this, and this would include what the scripture referred to as bearing fruit. Aren't you guys in here, your pastors? You need to start looking at your flock and see what kind of fruit they're bearing. Or if you just have friends who claim to be Christians, check out their fruit. I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. When I was first saved, everybody I talked to in the church, they couldn't talk. They had to quote scripture all the time. And I said, I felt uncomfortable about that. I said, God, what is this? They can't even speak English. They just quote scripture all the time. He said, and you know, they're deacons, you know, and bishops and everything. He said, watch the fruit. Most of them were perverted. I mean, I'm serious. They were into perversion. That was religion. That was false. They didn't know how to talk to you in English because there was no truth in them. Are you listening here? I've always been a fruit inspector. You can come to me and tell me any old thing you want and smile as big as you want to, but I'm checking out your fruit. Come on, you got to check out people's fruit. Lost my place again. We're talking about fruit, right? Well, when we claim to love and serve God, our lives should truly reflect it. Christ has given us his grace for this, and this would include what the scripture referred to as bearing fruit. But here's the thing about fruit. We cannot produce it on our own. Come on. You can pretend all you want, but eventually you're going to smell the rotten. You can't produce it on your own. Jesus referred to himself as the vine and we the branches. Just as branches cannot bear fruit apart from the vine itself, neither can we apart from Christ. If we stay in him, he stays in us. Otherwise, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We should also desire to be obedient to what he asks of us. Not in a legalistic, overbearing way, but in the way Jesus walked in true obedience with the Father. You know, I asked somebody, just said, oh, God, I got to do this or she'll get upset. Yeah, I will. You know, you don't do it because you love me and you have good fruit. You do it because I don't want her to get upset. I'm very serious about the things of God. I really am. If you know me very long, I'm very serious about the things of God. You don't play around with the things of God. You really don't. Because you're digging yourself a grave that you're not going to want to stay in. God tells us to be obedient to him. Jesus walked into obedience with the Father, and we should repurpose in our hearts to keep his commandments. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We cannot give casual lip service to this. We can't proclaim to live for him with our words and then deny him by our lifestyle. While none of us are perfect, we must not take lightly that we are living epistles. Are you hearing this? We represent the Lord, and there is a responsibility that comes with it. There is a standard of righteousness, and it's God's standard. We should produce spiritual fruit that reveals and points others to Christ and the kingdom of God within us. There should be tangible evidence of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. There should be tangible evidence of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. While we are ever growing in Him, and while we all go through winter seasons, God told me that time, daughter, don't die in your winter months. You know, when Satan was doing his thing with me, he said, don't die. Please, daughter, don't die in your winter months. You're going to make it through this. All right. While we are ever growing in Him, and while we all go through winter seasons, bearing good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control should be the norm and not the exception. I may even think every now and then, after reading all those good fruit things, you know you lost your salvation every now and then. So your fruit should be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. You know, come on. It should be a natural manifestation of our relationship with Christ. And the more rooted in Him we are, the more common these fruits of the Spirit. You'll find that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The more common these fruits of the Spirit will naturally manifest in our lives. Come on. We are sons and daughters, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. We must embody this truth. We must embody Him. Now, are you ready for God to rip that junk up out of you? Are you ready just to quit your complaining about every little thing that God is doing to you to get you cleaned up? Are you ready to quit kicking against the goads? In other words, when God sends somebody your way that's not lovable and you think, God, have you lost your mind? No, He hasn't lost His mind. He's trying to show you that you need a little bit more patience. A little bit more, you know, a little bit more joy. A little bit more love, you know. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to get bigger and bigger. Right? And that's why He sends some people your way that are, you shake your head and say, God, you had to be out of your mind today. Come on. See, all you're going through the same thing I go through, right? Well, God is trying to get us to a place where we'd be just like Jesus. I have a right to righteous anger. I do. But I don't have to. I don't have a right to use that as an excuse to be angry. Are you understanding this? You know, sometimes people just flat do things or just not godly, and they expect you to sit there and take it with a smile on your face. No, that's over with. God said, that's done with. We're not doing that no more. They've been in your presence long enough. They know how to act. They need to straighten up now. And that's how God feels about the church right now. You've been in the house of God long enough. You've been sitting under the anointing. You know, He told me Sunday, when will they ever get it together? I set them under a prophet and they will not listen. So then if somebody else comes in here ministering, you run up there and have that person pray over you for the same thing I've been praying over you for a year. You don't believe my prayers are working? It isn't my prayer, it isn't the other person's prayer. It's you. You're the reason why things aren't changing. You're the reason why you're not being healed or whatever it is. It's you. You're thinking, well, okay, well, they don't have no power. No, I don't have any power and authority, but my Father does. And, you know, the gifts are in operation because the Father gave me the gifts. Are you understanding? I'm talking about everybody in this room. God gave you the gifts. And when you are operating under the anointing, it's God's anointing. It's not your anointing. See, people have got to get that notion out of their heads. Look what I did. You did absolutely nothing, you dummy. Because when you get that notion, you just now lost your salvation. Because you allowed pride to get in there, and the devil's going to jump on that and ride it as far as he can ride it. It's not what you do. You always give God the glory. You know, we used to have revival all the time. The church is packed out day after. We was here all the time. And one time, and God really moved. He always moved. But that night, He must have done something great. And the devil said to me, look what you just did. I stopped everything. I said, let's give God the glory for what just happened here. And we stopped right then and there. I said to myself, devil, I didn't do nothing. And we stopped right then and there, and I gave God the glory. And, you know, the devil never came back at me with that ever again, because he knew it wasn't going to work. He knew that I knew who did it, and it wasn't me. Wasn't no pride in me. Because I'm nothing without God. You're nothing without God. Get that through your head tonight. You are absolutely nothing without God. And you're where you're at because God called you and God brought you to where you're at. All right? All right, I just want to read just one little piece here on this other article I was going to read and don't have time. But gifts are being redistributed. This year, God is taking gifts and callings that people have not been using, or those of people who have fallen or died, and is redistributing them to those who will use them to advance the kingdom. Not to advance yourself, but to advance the kingdom. This does not mean that you will get someone's mantle, but instead various gifts are being given out. It is happening swiftly. Are you hearing that? I was trying to see if I could see what we're supposed to be going through this week. All right, young man here, he said, earlier this year I had an encounter with an angel, in which an angel handed me a tarnished key that belonged to a leader. So a tarnished key telling me that the leader didn't use it or misused it, one or the other. He told me that it was the key to life and death. It is similar to the key that David mentioned in Revelation 3:7. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I used this key for myself to get out of the prison of sickness I was in for several years, and I am now healed. And he said, I have noticed I have new prophetic authority when I minister. You know, God is stretching us like he's never stretched us before. God is moving upon our individual lives like he's never moved before. God told me back in 2007, rebuild the church. I've been trying since 2007 to rebuild the church, and the people have kept it from being rebuilt. And I don't know if it's in this article I was going to read or what, but I think it was one I was going to read. The article says that because God wanted to move in certain areas in your life, but because you would not give him the space to do it, he went on. And you were missed. Now, God is wanting to do certain things right now in our lives. Are you going? See, and that's why I'm so adamant about what's going to. You are not going to stop the growing of this church again. You did in 2007, but not anymore. And I'm honest with you, people. I said, God, if they don't want to move, take them out. And I was so upset. I said, God, I'm just going to tell them, go find another church. If you can't honor me because I honor God, then you need to go sit under somebody else. Because you're not going to stop the moving of God that God wants to. See, the revival should never stop. But because you people did not have a heart for true revival, you come in here and they say, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And God stopped it. It should never have stopped. Do you understand? You're stopping the move of God in your own lives. Are you understanding this? You're stopping your own blessings because you won't give in to God and give God what he wants. I'm hearing you say he wants glory. He wants glory all the time from you. He wants you to glorify him. You know, and he wants all of you. He doesn't want part of you. So we're in a dispensation right now. You two young guys need to listen to this. We're in a dispensation right now where if you don't get in the will of Father and if you don't do everything God's telling you to do, you're going to step over again. I'm talking to everybody in this church. Now, I don't know about you, but I should not be living in poverty. I should not be in this building. People are keeping me here, and I'm done. See, and it's a devil in the people. But you need to get that determination too. I'm done. Devil, you're not using people to hold me down any longer. You have to come to that determination in your spirit. That you're tired of being held down, living in poverty, living in a church. This building's only standing because we're here with the anointing. When we leave, it's going to fall. But we should have been in a big building a long time ago. Come on. Where should you have been? What has the devil kept you from? Where you didn't move when God told you to move. You didn't do what God told you to do. And you're out there in your pride and whatever else. You know, you have to blame yourself. Because God told me Sunday, he's done. He's upset. He's mad. You know, your people are no different than my people. You know, and you're no different than anybody else. You have to get your heart settled in God, and you have to hear God's voice and do what God's telling you to do. I know what he's telling me to do. And I said, God, the people won't. And I blame myself. He says, not you. It's the people. I said, well, get out of here. Because I'm not having that no more. I've spent 30 years of people tearing down what God's trying to build up. How many years are you going to live with what God's trying to build up and the devil using people to tear it down? The ball's in your court, guys. What are you going to do with the ball? Totally up to you tonight. You have some decisions to make. Because this move that God has already started this week, of how he wants to bless us, give us every blessing he's ever promised us. Then we're going to go into Rosh Hashanah Sunday. And then from there on, we go into Jubilee. You know, it's going to snowball. Are you going to be left along the roadside? Or are you going to be in the landslide of blessings that God's pouring out? Totally up to you. Totally up to you. I don't care where you stand. Because I've done and I've done and I've done and I've poured out and poured out. I don't have nothing else to give you. But I do have something to give to other people. To the lost and the dying. There's an anointing for the lost and the dying. And God needs to pull the lost and the dying into the house of God. And as long as I hold on to the church that doesn't want to change, God can't bring the lost and the dying into the house of God. Are you understanding that? Even if God's calling you to do something in your home, if you've got to do it, you've got to do whatever God's calling you to do. It doesn't matter whose feelings you hurt. You know, because if they're in God, you won't hurt nobody's feelings. Because they'll understand that the pulling of God, they'll understand the anointing of God, and they'll understand that you're walking under a mantle of grace from God. And you're only doing what God's calling you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Amen. I laid on the bed this morning and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning and I cried and I said, God, please, you told us that the Lighthouse Church was going to be a beacon and win the souls in Delaware and Lower Delaware and the Delmarva area peninsula. Please don't let anybody stop that blessing. He said, they won't. The Lighthouse Church is going to do what I said it's going to do. Now, what has God spoken into your life that you're going to do? Don't allow nobody to steal that. Don't allow nobody to steal that. If it gets stolen, it's your fault. It's my fault because I kept saying, well, God, they'll get it. They'll get it. They'll get it. And Sunday night, I said, when are they going to get it? I said, what? You know, ministering was going on up here, you know, and God was moving and God's telling me this. And I'm saying, really now? He's upset with the body because we're not doing the things we're supposed to be doing. Let's get it together tonight. You know, I feel so blessed that this older couple has decided to come to the services. Because every time I look at them, I say, God, you said you were going to bring the older people in. And you were going to anoint them. And you were going to use them to the fullest. And I'm believing that that's the first older couple that he's brought in. And I think it's going to snowball now. So that's the way my mind works. And when these two young men came in from Virginia, I said, God, you said they're going to come from the north, the east, the south, and the west. And they have. They've been always been coming from all over. But this is a new dispensation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've always had people come in from everywhere. But this is a new dispensation now. And I'm believing that you two guys are the first of many that God is bringing into the house of God. Now, what can you believe God for? Don't sit and look at your circumstances. If I looked at my circumstances, I wouldn't even be here tonight. Are you understanding that? If you two looked at your circumstances, you probably wouldn't have made a trip back in here again, would you? But see, we don't look at our circumstances. We look at God and look at his promises. And he said, this is the week. That's why I think it's so wonderful you two came this week. Because this is the week, and I got the Holy Spirit all over me, that you're going to get everything that God has promised you. You know, we think... And he's saying to tell you a great windfall is coming your way. They're both a great windfall. We think we make our own choice. Well, okay, well, we just look at the counter. Okay, we'll go there. No, you didn't either. The Holy Spirit was there all the time, and he was telling you when to go. Are you listening? He's telling you what to do and what to say. If people call you and you don't answer the phone call and they get upset about it, just that's okay. Holy Spirit didn't want me to. So, you know, when Holy Spirit wants me to answer the phone, I'll answer the phone. Or, you know, come on. The phone rang the other day and I could hear who it was. You know, I was running as fast as I could because I just got down the other end of the hall. And the phone started. I was, oh, jeez. I drop everything and run back down. And I got into the bedroom. And God said, I didn't want you to answer it. Why did you run? That's why I waited. You left the room before it rang. So I went on back down the hallway. See, you know, we think we have to pick up the phone every time to ring, and you really don't. Ask Brother Brett. He really doesn't. You know. So are you ready tonight to quit? Do you get rid of all these dumb mindsets that you have, that you have to do, you have to do? No, the only thing you have to do is what God's asking you to do. If you're ready to get rid of that mindset, that you have to do what everybody else is telling you to do, and that you really want to say, God, I'm so sorry. Because some of you really did miss what he's wanting to do with you up to this point. You really missed it. And that's why you're sitting in poverty. That's why you're sitting where you're at today. Because you didn't do what God told you to do when he told you to do it. You thought you had all the time in the world, and really you didn't. When he told you, that was when you should have done. I kept telling you people, you need to do it now. You need to do it now. But you, she doesn't know what you're talking about. Well, now you know. I knew what I was talking about. You should have done it then. But if I was you, I wouldn't get all upset. I would go to God and say, God, I have been so dumb. Would you please give more grace? Would you please give me another chance? And then just let him do what he wants to do. The altar's open.